So I have probably no fewer than 10 Israeli news sources open on my computer at any one time. And quite unusually today, each and everyone is leading with the same story, and that is the terror attack in Ramot today. For that reason, we asked a retired Colonel Miri Eisen, senior fellow at the Rechman University and former advisor to the Israeli Prime Minister, to speak to us today and to bring us up to speed with developments. Miri, shalom. Thank you for talking to us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Simon, shalom, and thank you for inviting me on this tough day among all of these hundreds of tough days.
Yeah, absolutely. I say it's not often that every single Israeli source that I have is leading with the same story. That is the case right now. What happened? What do you know? What can you report to us on the attack in Ramot today?
What we know is that two individuals, I'm going to say Palestinian, but I don't even know to say who they are as of now, came with sub-rifles that were what you call automatics that were made a bit, meaning they weren't regular rifles, but they did have an automatic capability. They got out of a car and went onto a bus, a public bus, public transportation in Jerusalem, opened fire inside that closed bus. As of now, inside Israel, they've talked about six people that were killed, at least another dozen that were injured. The bulk of them are people who are living in one of the neighborhoods of Jerusalem on the north side of Jerusalem. So right now, what the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, but the police forces, the security forces are doing is first and foremost trying to find where they came from to make sure who sent them to arrest those ones, to make sure there aren't additional terror cells out there trying to do something similar. They've already said that most likely they came in on the northern side of Jerusalem through what in Israel we call a gap in the security barrier, that famous security barrier that was built over 20 years ago to try to prevent these kind of attacks. Has not necessarily been completely upkept, and there are gaps in them, and it seems that they came through one of those.
Marie, for those of us who do not know Jerusalem, can you explain to us Ramot? Where is Ramot? What is Ramot? What is the significance of the location? And is it a major transport hub? Just give us a sense of the place.
Jerusalem is a city of 1 million people. It's 10% of the population of Israel. People aren't aware that it's such a large city. And because of the topography, it mainly grows to the north and to the south, because to the east, it's a very deep drop to the desert. And the neighborhood of Ramot on the northern side of Jerusalem is one which is all of Jerusalem is surrounded by Judea and Samaria by the West Bank. And on the northern side, the neighborhood of Ramot was the first neighborhood that Israel built after the 1967 Six-Day War, to the north of Jerusalem. So it's towards the side of where the city of Ramallah is in the West Bank in Judea and Samaria. It is a very large neighborhood. As a neighborhood, it's part of Jerusalem itself. And over the last two decades, it mainly is a population of what I'm going to call modern Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox Jews. And, you know, Simon and I, when we talk about that, we can visualize for, I'd say, for our listeners in that sense, who may remember what that means. It means people who on the outward look like Jews. And I hate putting it in those terms, but these are religious Jews. The men are going to be dressed in a way that it's clear cut that they're religious and ultra-Orthodox religious women. That's the main neighborhood. On the northern edge, it has, because it's at the northern entrance of Jerusalem, it has in it a big hub for buses. They've just been opening a new hub there right now, and that is exactly where the two terrorists got out of a car and got onto the bus, right at that new hub for public transportation.
Given the reality of Israel in the past 2 years, one would have imagined that the Shin Bet and whoever else is on the lookout for exactly these kinds of attacks. You mentioned that they arrived with guns, and I'm wondering, surely they were spotted by cameras. Surely there was a chance to respond before they were able to board the bus. Or is it just too quick, too instantaneous, and is there nothing that can be done in situations like this? And it You get to them early enough.
So I want to say to everybody in that sense is that our preemptive and preventive actions against actions of terror cells that want to come out and kill innocent people all over the place, is always very good, which means, Simon, it's 98%. And then I hate talking about the 2% because an attack like today is, it's going to happen. And when they have this will and their capacity to go and put together these alternative type weapons, because we're constantly looking to try to prevent the arrival of weapons into the hands of terrorists. And they're looking for the way into Jerusalem, and they can have help both from inside and outside. Those are all things you're going to be looking at. And most of the time, as I say, 98% we prevent and preempt. The cameras, all of those different actions, they do help. You want to do so. But in this split second at the end, the two terrorists were killed by two men who were at the scene. Both of them, by the way, religious, one of them ultra-Orthodox. I'll even add in, one of them was an ultra-Orthodox man who was drafted into the military and had a gun. And I'm just saying, you know, with everything going on inside Israel, in this little contained Israel at the time, you know, it's that odd aspect that both the target were ultra-Orthodox and religious people that clearly look like that, that it was that the one who killed the terrorists at the end was an ultra-Orthodox Israeli man who had a gun and shot them. And it was their quick reaction that prevented it being a much worse attack. But you cannot prevent every single attack. Sadly.
No, obviously one can't. If somebody is a suicide terrorist, for example, they're going to do it no matter what. I'm just thinking as you're speaking, and for all of us who have been in Israel and who know the population we're talking about, thank goodness, thank goodness, thank goodness there weren't women and children involved, because the first thing I would have thought in a population like that is prams. I can see the prams being loaded onto the buses because that's generally the case. And for whatever reason, they weren't targets today.
So they opened fire at whatever was in the bus. And here it's kind of like day-to-day life. We're already in September. It's Israel. And so on a regular school day, kindergarten day, and just like you said, all of the mothers with the prams, they'd already be at the kindergarten at the school. So what it caught was actually people, because it was sort of, it wasn't at the hour of when you do, it was before people were going home. So it was people caught in the middle of the day. It happened to be at this stage, from what they've said, they've already put out, it's two rabbis, it's other yeshiva students. There was an older woman in her 50s. Those are the casualties that they've already said so far. They haven't yet spoken about all of the injured. And so I don't know to tell you that they weren't there. I just think that in their planning, where they were coming in, they were looking for the gap in time. And for whatever reason, they thought that it was easier for the terrorists to get into the city of Jerusalem at that hour, because I agree with you. Most of the time, Simon, they always do this at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's when everybody's on their way to school or to work. And in this case, it was more a little bit before noon, Israel time.
And for Israelis and for those of us who were in Israel in the 80s, this is kind of visceral. It brings back awful memories of the second Intifada and buses being attacked and buses exploding. And it takes you right back to that moment in time, which was really a very bad place to be. I suppose the only question is, how the security forces are so incredibly effective that there are as few as there have been?
I think that the security forces, and specifically the ones that are taking action inside Judea and Samaria, which has been bubbling from October 7th, have been exceedingly effective, both in being preventive and preemptive. And as I said before, Simon, I think that, and my heart goes out right now, any single attack at any time. But we need to put it into proportion, considering what we've all been going through in the last 23 months. We've seen, tfu-tfu-tfu, now I want to knock on wood and do whatever you're not supposed to do. But to say that they continue to take such strong action where we're going, there have not been many attacks in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is a mixed city. There can be a lot of negative potential. And I think that it is the actions, both of the police and of the different security forces, that does manage to prevent most of it most of the time. And my and as and as I always say, I want it to be 100%, but I think that that's a wrong message. I
Oh,
think that what
yeah.
we want to have is we want the mothers on the other side to not support their children to go be suicide bombers, that the wives, that the men themselves will not think that what they need to do in life is to go destroy lives in the way that they do. And in that sense, you know, that's a long-term hope. And right now, our security forces always have to do their best. And today, you're right, they didn't manage to do so. And I'm sure that the crackdown in that sense will prevent and preempt the next ones that were on the way.
What also really does stand out at me is your story, reporting to me that one of the Israelis who neutralized one of the terrorists was a Haredi who had actually been drafted into the army. And we're all very aware of the
Yes.
debate going on in Israeli society and Israeli politics right now, the schism between those who serve and those who don't, and one almost wonders how will this be reported by the ultra-Orthodox press in Israel? Will this man be seen as a hero or will he be seen as a traitor?
Simon, I so love the comment you made right now. It's exactly what I'm looking at right now. And both of us, you and I, we're going to follow and see that. I happen to think that right now, people are not really in that sense yet looking at it from that eye. I am looking at it that way. And I think it's a really important part. It's about being part of society, but most definitely, it's about how is this going to be presented in their own press. And I do not know right now. I'm waiting to see that myself.
Mary, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. As always, thank you so much for talking to us on Chai FM. I can't tell you, ani maarich et zeh, hamon hamon.
Amon, Amon, and Simon, that we should all breathe in deep, and we're strong, and we're going to be there, and our hearts are with the victims, but we're still here. Thank you so much, and always a pleasure talking to you.
It is 4:45. You're listening to The Home Run on Chai FM, and that was retired Colonel Mary Eisen. Always a joy talking to her. The woman is flawless, absolutely flawless.